All right, let's talk about something super cool. Ever really looked at your TV screen up close? It's pretty wild, right? Those crazy thin edges in that picture. It's all thanks to something called ultra-thin injection molding. And today, well, that's our deep dive.
Yeah, we're going way beyond the basics, getting into the real nitty-gritty of how it works and why it's so tough to do.
Right, like we're talking thinner than a human hair, but that's still strong. So we've got tons of research here, all the latest stuff on materials and mold design and even those annoying warping problems. And we'll unpack all of that, what makes this kind of molding so tricky and why it's behind so many awesome innovations.
I think folks will be surprised. Like how much goes into making these plastic parts we use every day? It's a lot more than meets the eye.
No kidding. Okay, so first things first, materials. I'm guessing it's not as easy as just, grabbing the toughest plastic off the shelf.
Oh no, not at all. You got to think about it. Take ABS, for example. Strong. Yeah, it gives that nice glossy finish you see in electronics and all. But here's the thing. They're making totally new types of ABS now, just for these thin parts. They're even using plant-based stuff in some of them.
So it's more than just strength then, huh? It's got to flow into these teeny tiny molds without falling apart.
Right, flow is key. Imagine like trying to fill a mold as thin as a credit card.
Whoa, okay.
You need the plastic to be almost like liquid when it's hot,
Well, I see.
but then it's got to harden perfectly to stay strong.
So it's finding that sweet spot. What materials can actually do that?
Well, there's ABS, like we said, in polypropylene that flows really well, but maybe not as tough, if you drop something.
Gotcha.
And then there's the fancy stuff like PEEK, super strong, but a real pain to work with in thin parts.
So it's a trade-off no matter what you choose. Okay, but let's say we picked our plastic. How do you even make a mold for something so thin?
No, that's where it gets interesting. We're talking precision, like on the micron level.
Micron, that's
Tiny. Like think the thickness of a piece of paper. Huge in this world. Any little imperfection in the mold and it's game over.
Wow, okay. So what's it like making these molds then? What are the challenges?
Well, traditionally steel was king.
Mm-hmm.
Super precise, but man, expensive and slow to make. Now we're seeing all these new alloys and even aluminum in some
Just
cases.
even the tools are a balancing act.
You got it.
Yeah.
And any flaw in the mold, you get warping, bad surfaces, parts breaking, and then there's the whole thing with gate vestige, that little mark where the plastic goes in.
Wait, so even that tiny entry point has to be perfect.
Oh yeah, otherwise it messes up the whole part.
Okay, yeah. Now I'm seeing why my phone case is like a mini engineering marvel.
For sure. And we haven't even touched on the fun of warping and shrinkage.
Oh, I bet that's a headache. Imagine spending hours on a design and boom, your perfect phone screen protector comes out looking like a potato chip.
It happens.
Okay, let's dive into that next because, well, that's where the real art of all this comes in, right? So, what causes all that warping and shrinking anyway?
Warping. It's like the worst enemy when you're making these ultra-thin parts.
Really?
Yeah, because you see, when you've got such thin plastic, it cools all weird in different speeds, and
Well,
that just messes everything up.
oh, so like one part is pulling against the other while it cools,
Yeah,
and that's what makes it warp.
exactly. And it's not just the cooling either. The pressure you use to inject the plastic matters a ton. Too much. And you overfill the mold, basically. Even more stress. Too little, and well, you might not even fill it all the way. And then you got weak spots, holes, the whole nine yards.
Sounds like a tightrope walk, huh? How do they even like figure out how to do it right?
Lots of testing, simulations, sometimes just gut feeling,
Wow.
Like, imagine you're balancing a stack of books on a train that's moving. You got to think ahead, adjust for every little bump.
Yeah, I'm starting to get just how much skill goes into this. But okay, let's talk shrinkage for a minute. Because I think we've all had that thing where a plastic part just doesn't fit quite right,
Freakage. The silent saboteur. As plastic cools, it shrinks, right?
Makes sense.
But the thinner the part, the worse it gets.
Oh, so if you're designing something really precise, like, I don't know, a medical device or something, you have to account for that from the start.
Absolutely. Otherwise, things won't snap together right, or they won't fit where they're supposed to. And that's, yeah, big trouble, especially in medical stuff.
No kidding. So how do they deal with it? Do they just like make the mold bigger to compensate?
Sometimes, but it's not always that simple. Different plastics shrink differently, so gotta know your materials.
Right.
And even within the same type of plastic, like what you add to it, can change how much it shrinks.
So it's that balance again. Material, pressure, cooling, now shrinkage too. This is a lot more complicated than I thought.
Oh, it is. But that's also what makes it exciting. Every project is like a puzzle, you know, figuring it all out. And the cool thing is, technology keeps getting better. New tools, new tricks all the time.
You mentioned variotherm molding before. What's that all about?
That's a game changer for precision, for sure. Mm-hmm. Imagine you could heat up or cool down certain parts of the mold while it's molding.
Whoa, so not just like the whole mold is one temperature.
Nope. You can have different zones, hot and cold, right where you need them.
What's the advantage of that?
Think of a part, let's say it has a thin section and a thick section right next to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, you'd have to cool it slow so the thin part doesn't warp. But with variotherm, you can blast the thick part with cold while keeping the thin part warmer, less warping.
Like a personalized AC for your mold, huh?
Exactly. And it's not just warping either. Huh. Better surface finish, faster cycles. You can even make crazier shapes with it.
So we've got material, mold design, warping, shrinkage, now variotherm. I'm realizing we're just scratching the surface here. What other like high-tech stuff is going on in this field?
Oh, man. Microfluidics is really pushing the limits. We touched on it before, but it's worth a deeper look, you know? Imagine medical tests on a tiny chip, just a drop of blood.
Whoa.
Or like custom-made medicine from mini labs on a chip. That's microfluidics.
Sounds like sci-fi. How does our ultra-thin molding fit into all that?
You need ultra-thin molding to even make those chips. Mm-hmm. The channels, the chambers, all super tiny, smoother than a hair. It's insane.
It's wild to think that, you know, something as basic as plastic molding is behind all this groundbreaking science stuff.
Yeah, it's not just about making things small and thin anymore. It's opening up whole new possibilities.
For real. But, you know, with all this fancy tech, we can't forget the basics, like cooling. That's the grand finale, right? It can make or break the whole thing.
You got it. And that, well, that's a whole other world of complexity we're going to dive into. It's where the artistry of all this really shines.
All right, so we're back, diving deep into the world of ultra-thin injection molding.
And ready to crack open the secrets of cooling. You know, it's the unsung hero of making those crazy thin, super strong plastic parts we use every day.
I gotta be honest, I kind of thought cooling was just like a passive thing that happens after you inject the plastic.
Oh, that's a common thought, but nope. It's actually a carefully choreographed dance of science, thermodynamics, and fluid dynamics all mixed together.
Fancy.
It's like the final act of the whole molding show, and it can totally make or break how good the part turns out.
So it's not just like dunking the mold in cold water and calling it a day, huh?
Huh, not even close. We're talking about cooling channels. Precise temperatures, even fancy techniques like conformal cooling, where you use 3D printing to make channels that fit perfectly to the part.
Okay, now you've got my attention. So how do these cooling systems actually work? What are we trying to achieve here?
Uniform cooling. Remember how we talked about internal stresses?
Yeah, like the plastic fighting with itself as it cools.
Right. Well, that happens because of uneven cooling. One part cools faster than another, and you get this tug of war going on, which can warp the part and cause all sorts of problems.
Makes sense. So it's like when you bake a cake, if one side cools too fast, the whole thing gets lopsided, right?
Perfect analogy.
Yeah.
Just like with that cake, we've got to control the cooling so the final product comes out perfect.
So how do we do that? You mentioned cooling channels. Are those actually inside the mold?
Yep. Think of it like veins running through the mold, carrying coolant to every little part of the plastic part.
Coolant, so like just water.
Sometimes water, yeah. But depending on the plastic and how fast we need it to cool, we might use oil or even special cooling fluids.
So it's like a custom AC system for each little plastic part.
Exactly. And just like an AC, the temperature's got to be just right. Too cold, and you shock the plastic, which can mess things up. Too warm, and it takes forever to cool, which slows down production.
Wow, this is a lot more scientific than I ever thought.
It definitely is. And the technology keeps getting better. Take conformal cooling, for example. It's pretty new, and it lets us 3D print the cooling channels right into the mold so they can have all these crazy shapes and get the coolant flowing exactly where we need it.
So instead of just straight channels that might miss some spots, you have these winding, customized channels that reach every nook and cranny.
Yep, that's it. Conformal cooling means faster cooling, more even heat distribution, and in the end, better parts with less warping and shrinkage.
Sounds like a total game changer for this ultra-thin stuff.
It is. And that's just one example of how engineers are always pushing the boundaries of cooling tech to make even thinner, stronger, and more complex parts.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into the world of ultra-thin injection molding, what's the one big thing you want our listeners to walk away with?
Every single step matters, from picking the right plastic to designing the mold to the cooling, which most people don't even think about. It all affects the final part. And as technology keeps moving forward, who knows what kind of incredible thin and strong plastics we'll be able to make in the future.
I know. I'll never look at a thin piece of plastic the same way again. Thanks for taking us on this journey. It's been fascinating.
Happy to do it. Keep that curiosity going. You never know what you'll discover.
And that's a wrap on this episode of The Deep Dive. Hope you enjoyed exploring the crazy world of ultra-thin injection molding with us. Until next time, keep learning, keep questioning, and keep diving deep.